Good morning. Yay, that's it. Good morning, everyone. We all right this morning? Yes. You notice I've got a little bag of goodies. It's always something, isn't there, when I come. Do you know what, before I talk, why don't we just, let's just pray. Just take a moment and commit this to God. Father God, I want to thank you this morning for your word. So many words within this Bible, and Father God, we just thank you for that. And just this morning, God, as we dip into it and try to understand your word, God, will you come and help us? Holy Spirit, will you speak to each one of us where we're at right now? Holy Spirit, may we hear your voice speaking to us this morning. Amen. Amen. Now, I don't know what it's like in your house, but as my children got older, we quite like Saturday night TV. Anyone else into some of these Saturday night TV show? Obviously, last night's Anton Deck Saturday Night Takeaway. Anyone a fan of that one? Some people are looking at me in horror. Okay. We love a little bit of that, you know, Masked Singer. Starstruck is another one at the minute. There's another one, which I don't know when it's normally on. I think it's often a Saturday night. In for a Penny, Stephen Mulhern. In for a Penny, In for a Grand. Anyone familiar? Oh, man. There's some nodding. Thank you so much. You need to find this. Okay. This is kind of our level in our house of Stephen Mulhern. It is highly hilarious where he goes down doing all kinds of challenges with just people in the public. In for a penny, in for a grand. You literally give him a penny and you have to go for all these challenges and you might get a grand at the end. Don't worry, I'm not doing that. You know, I'm not going to throw away a grand at you. But one of his little challenges I thought we might do this morning, because what he sometimes does is he goes to a supermarket and then he'll get people along the checkout. And he'll get them to do this challenge where they have to guess whether the cost of the items is more or less for each item. And if they get it all right, they get the cost of their shopping paid for. Okay, so I thought we'd have a little go at this morning. Okay, so it's all about thinking about the cost of things. So first of all, okay, don't worry if you haven't seen it. I'm just going to walk you through it. Here we are. I've got a box of Tesco. Sorry, I probably shouldn't say, but you know, you're going to see. Okay, and this box of malt wheats, 83p. Okay, so you need to think. This is 83 pence. So how this game works is my next item, you need to say whether you think this item costs more or less than my box of malt wheats. Okay, so I've got to try and bring these out of the bag so no one can see my prices on. Hang on. Wait for it, Sean. Okay, here we go. We have a 1 kilogram bag of pasta. Ooh, what do we reckon, more or less? Hands up for more, hands up for less. It is in fact more, £1.30. Now if you said less, you'd be out of the game, you're shopping, you've got to buy it yourself. Okay, so pasta, are we ready for the next one? Okay, we're gonna go for, okay, some satsumas. Ooh, so pasta, £1.30. Satsumas, more or less? What do you reckon? Oh, they posh satsumas though. Tesco owned. Don't worry, I didn't go for club car prices because that would really throw a spanner in the works, wouldn't it? Okay, so what do we reckon? Put your hand up for more. Hand up for less. It is, in fact, 5p more. £1.35 for your pack of satsumas. Okay, let's go for another one. Now, what was it? Here we go. Some Mars. Okay, a pack of 6 Mars. Now, my satsumas were £1.35. Ooh. Pack of, I'm trying to hold it here so you can't see my prices. Do you reckon these Mars bars are more or less? Do you reckon? Hands up for more. This is Mars after all. Hands up for less. It is more. £2. £2 for your pack of, not 6, 9 even. 9. Okay. £2 for your Mars. Right, my next one then. Heinz ketchup. Ooh. Heinz ketchup. Is it more or less than our Mars? Do you realise we're just doing this for half an hour? Okay, this is my preach this morning. So I hope you're in for the fun of this. Okay, what do you reckon? Hands up for more for Heinz ketchup. Hands up for less for Heinz. It is, in fact, more. £2.30. Oh, extortionate prices. Extortionate for that little bottle of ketchup. Okay. Need to go to Lidl. Okay. Right, here we go. So, Heinz ketchup, £2, what was it? £2.30. Here we are, I'm trying to cover it. I've got a pack of peppers. What do we reckon? Are we a bit unanimous about this? Everyone think, yeah, less, yes, less, yes. You are correct. Well done. £1.45 for your pack of peppers. Ooh, okay. My last thing. Now we get the serious bit. The cost of following Jesus. The cost of following Jesus. Do you know, this was just a bit of fun, but it helps us to lead into, this is what we're thinking about this morning. This is what I want to talk to us about this morning. The cost of following Jesus. I'm just going to put that there for now whilst I'm talking. The cost of following Jesus. If you have your Bibles, will you turn to Luke chapter 9? And we're going to look at some verses in here. And we're going to attempt to understand this a little bit more this morning. Luke 9, verse 57. As they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." But Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens to live in, and birds have nests. But the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head." He said to another person, "Come, follow me." The man agreed, but he said, "Lord, first let me return home and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God." Another said, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you. But first let me say goodbye to my family." But Jesus told him, "Anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God." You know, I reckon this passage, it's one of those passages that you kind of read and you go, what does this mean? Is it just me? Or, you know, there are bits, isn't there, in the Bible where we kind of go, what is he actually really talking about? And I'm going to today attempt to just kind of unpick this a little bit. And let's look at what Jesus is talking about. We've got here three very short little interactions, conversations with three different people here. So let's look at the first one. The first one is this person that says to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus replies, "Foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head." So we get here this man who is super eager. It's almost he's there going, "Oh, Jesus, I'm just going to go. Wherever you go, wherever you go, I'm just going to follow you." So eager. And it's almost like Jesus is going, "Whoa, hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. Do you realize what you're saying? The reality." And Jesus is talking here about where he talks about foxes have dens to live in. He's talking about in the natural, Jesus would go from place to place to place, wouldn't he? Where did he actually sleep at night? Like, actually, really? We don't actually see where he goes. Maybe he just slept on the hillside. Slept out under the stars in other people's homes. And Jesus here is almost trying to say to this man, look, if you follow me, don't expect comfort. Because I don't have this lovely, cozy, warm house that I go back to every night. Don't expect comfort. And this morning, this is what he's saying to us as we follow Jesus. The cost of following Jesus is comfort. One of the costs of following Jesus is comfort. Following him means he will take us out of our comfort zone. And I know that for so many of us, we've experienced that already, haven't we? How many of us is that? That's hard, isn't it? To be taken out of our comfort zone. Do you know, I reckon just that in itself could be a real challenge for us this morning. Am I prepared in following Jesus? Am I prepared for the cost of my comfort, of going places I would never imagine? Do you know, for me personally, one of my comfort zones that was really pushed was our mission trip to Romania. Lots of you know, like 2 years ago, we took this team. That was out of mine and Dave's comfort zone. Do you know, if anything, I was almost going, God, are you having a laugh here? Like, we're not the biggest travellers, are we, Dave? Okay, we're not, you know, when we were first married, we did a couple of holidays to Egypt and Tunisia. Oh, my word, it was so stressful. We then came back and went camping in England. We're like, yes, this is our comfort zone. Give us a tent in the rain. You know, that's us, our comfort. You know, we enjoyed that more than going abroad. It was almost, it wasn't unnatural. So when God says to us, and he said to us, I want you to do a mission trip to Romania, it's almost like, really? This? And I even remember now, the night before we're flying, almost having a little moment of laughter. You know, that hysterical laughter of like, really? Going, Dave, what are we doing? We're taking 23 people away, our own children, on this plane, our kids, and it just felt like so out of our comfort zone. And yet, it was the best thing ever. And I would do it again. I'm desperate to do it again. Like, God calls us out of our comfort zone. That's a cost. Are we prepared? Are we prepared for the cost of comfort? Do you know how many of us maybe, it's all right to follow Jesus all the while it's comfortable, isn't it? It's all right reading the comfortable bits of our Bible. How many of us find when we read those bits that go a bit ouchy, how many of us kind of skip over them? Do you know the cost of Jesus? Actually, we've got to read those bits. We've got to go, okay, this is out of my comfort zone, but I'm going to do it, God. I'm going to do it. The cost of following Jesus is our comfort. So that's the first interaction and the first cost that we get here. Then we get the second person. It says here, verse 59, Jesus said to another person, come, follow me. The man agreed, but he said, Lord, first let me return home and bury my father. But Jesus told him, let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever I read that, I just go, I don't get it. What on earth is he talking about? And I read something in the last week that really helped me to understand this. And it explains that actually, at this moment in time, in the Jewish culture at Jesus' time, what would have been the culture when someone died, the expectation was that the burial had to take place within 24 hours. Okay, it's quick. So if that's to happen, and we think about that, actually, when this man says, let me go away to bury my father, it means actually, his father's well. And he's alive. Because actually, if he wasn't, he wouldn't have been there, stood there talking to Jesus. He would have been busy sorting out that burial. So actually, if we think about all that, what he's really saying is, yeah, Jesus, I want to go off and do this and first. And maybe I'll come back and follow you when it's a bit more convenient. That's actually what he's saying. He's saying, yeah, it just doesn't really suit me now. It's almost like a not now, Jesus. It's not really a good time. Maybe later. Wow. How many of us are maybe a bit like that? That following Jesus, well, I'll do it when it's convenient. Actually, not now, Jesus. Maybe I'll do that later. Not now, Jesus. Do you know the cost of following Jesus? It's the cost of convenience. Actually, to follow Jesus means I'm going to follow you, Jesus, even when it's not convenient. Jesus, you want me to go and talk to this person, but really, God, I want to be over here now. It's not convenient. Wow, that's a cost, isn't it? Going, okay, I'm going to sacrifice what's going on over here to go and talk to this person because you want me to talk to them, God. What a challenge for us. To step out and follow him even when it's inconvenient. Do you know, this man, he was not ready to follow Jesus there and then. God, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be like that. I want to be somebody that's ready, going, yeah, Jesus, I'll follow you now. I'll do that now. I'll go where you lead, whether it's convenient or not, but that's the cost. So the cost of comfort, the cost of convenience. You might notice a little pattern. All begin with C's, well done. Yeah. Okay, our third one. We've got here, verse 61. Another said, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family." But Jesus told him, "Anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God." Now, actually, you'll notice both these last two, the one before and this one, they both say, "Yes, Lord, but first." Yes, Lord, but first. They were more interested in their own agenda. They're more interested in the plans they already have in place before doing what Jesus wanted them to do. Do you know, I wonder how many times we're a bit like that. We go, "Yeah, Jesus, I'll do that. But first, I just want to do this." Do you know that that's a cost in itself, is abandoning our own agenda, abandoning our plans. That's a cost of following Jesus, to be able to go, "Okay, I have this plan, but clearly, God, you've got a different plan. Okay, I'm going to go with this." Now, I know that's a cost. I don't know what you're like, but I'm a planner. Okay, that is me. I am a planner. So I know what that feels like. Even just out, it became a bit of a joke, those that were on our mission trip in Romania, wasn't it? Because I had my plan for the week. I mean, in the end, it was pinned up in the wall. It was all blue tacks up in the room. But God had other plans. And we joked that, "Oh, the lines are a little bit wobbly now." In the end, we just went, "Well, the lines are just blown, it's gone." You know, Jesus had other plans. And when we go with those other plans, it's just so rewarding, you know. So there's a cost here of abandoning our own agenda. But Jesus here with this man, when he goes, "Oh yeah, but first I'm going to do this," he replies, doesn't he, with this, "Anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God." Now, I am not a farmer, as I'm sure many of you know, so I don't really know much about farming. However, Jesus is talking about plowing, so they would have had their ox, I don't know what other animals they might have had, and they would have been there plowing the field. Now, for a farmer to plow the field, they want to get their straight lines. So in order to get their straight lines, they had to fix on a spot on the other side of the field, and they had to stay focused on that if they wanted to get their straight line. Jesus was saying, "Look, this farmer, he's got to fix his eyes. If he turns around and looks back, oh dear, it's going to be a wobbly, wiggly line. It's not going to go well." It's a bit like when you're riding a bike, isn't it? You know that thing when you're riding a bike? Or is it just me that does it? You know, you turn around and then suddenly you're veering off this way. When kids learn to, it's wherever you look is where you go type thing. So the farmers had to look at a fixed point, and they had to stay fixed in that way to get the straight lines. And you know, we're to have the same commitment like a farmer, that when we're following Jesus, we have our eyes fixed on him, that we're not distracted by everything else going on around us. There is a cost of commitment. Jesus is asking for this cost of commitment. He's saying, "Will you be committed like that farmer to follow me? Keep your eyes on me. Keep focused on me." Do you know, I asked this morning, where's your focus? Where's your fixed point? Are you like that farmer? Bang, Jesus. Or is it a bit like, "Yeah, Jesus, oh, look what's going on over here. Jesus, oh, look what's over here. Jesus." Commitment. The cost of following Jesus is a cost of commitment. Comfort, convenience, commitment. But I love this right at the end, because I think actually this whole thing of commitment is actually summing it all up. Because you see, Jesus wants us to follow him wholeheartedly. That's his longing for us. His longing for us is to follow him wholeheartedly. He wants total dedication. Not a half-hearted commitment. Not a pick and mix, choose as and when I want to follow him, when it's convenient for us. He wants a wholehearted commitment. Doesn't he say to us, "Seek first"? seek first his kingdom. This is about going, Jesus is to be our priority. He is to be our first. Is Jesus your priority? Where is he in your life? Is he first, or is he maybe third way down? Is he sometimes first, other times at the bottom? This is what it's talking about. This is what Jesus wants from us. He wants us to put him first. He wants us to make him the priority. When we read through the Bible, it talks constantly, doesn't it, about love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with everything, absolutely everything. Do you know, Jesus wants all of us, 100% of us. So yes, there's a cost of comfort, there's a cost of convenience, a cost of commitment. You might add more to that list. There's a cost of time, there's a cost of effort, there's a cost of my plans. But ultimately, what is the cost? The cost of following Jesus is us. He wants us. That is the cost. He wants 100% of us, all of ourselves. If you go just a little bit back in the chapter of Luke, chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus says these words. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but are yourself lost or destroyed? The cost is us. The cost is us. It's about giving our lives to him 100%, not holding anything back. Now that's hard, isn't it? Not holding anything back. I wonder how many of us can actually say we have given 100%. What are you holding back from Jesus? Going, yeah, you can have all of this, Jesus, but that's a bit too much. That costs me a bit too much. You're not having this part of my life. The cost of ourselves is being willing to abandon everything. Being willing to abandon everything. Following Jesus is about reaching that place of surrender. This is what it's talking about. This is what Jesus requires of us, of being able to surrender ourselves to him. In some version, it talks about deny yourself. We go, it's not about me. It's about you, Jesus. Do you know, in playing this little game, what's more or less, the cost of following Jesus is incredibly high, isn't it? It's a high cost, us giving ourselves to him. But can I tell you, it's worth it? And that's what we've got to remember today. You might be sat there going, oh my word, the cost. Oh, this is a cheery talk, isn't it? Crikey, got to give up this and give up that. But that's because you're thinking about just the cost. But we've got to remember, actually, who are we doing this for? Do you know what? It is so worth it. Because what does Jesus say in the verse I've just read? He said, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. We gain life. We gain life. By the cost of going, okay, 100%, I give myself to you, Jesus, I gain life. John 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I've come that you may have life, and life to the full. That's what we gain. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We get a fullness of life now. Oh my word, the best is yet to come. We get eternal life. Do you know, by giving my life to Jesus, by 100% following him, we get to be children of God. We're adopted into his family. We gain freedom, we gain forgiveness, we gain redemption. We get Jesus walking every day with us. We get him as our anchor, as our savior, as our friend. The cost is high, but it is so worth it. It is so worth it. But you know what as well? We don't even do it for what we gain. We don't do it for that reason. We do it because we love him. We do it because it's him. Because he is the greatest treasure ever. I'd like to read those parables because I love these. In Matthew 13, these parables about the hidden treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. I love that. That's what it's like to know Jesus. Costs all of us. It costs ourselves, but it's worth it for the greatest treasure of knowing him and who he is. Do you know that he is the most precious person that you could know? I hope you know that this morning. If you don't, I'm telling you. He is the most precious person for us to know. Do you know, I love in the Psalms, David, there's so many Psalms you could pick where he expresses that, the recognition. In Psalm 63, David talks about how your unfailing love is better than life itself. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. It is worth the cost because knowing Jesus is the most precious thing. His love is better than anything else. Anything else. Do you know, in Philippians, Paul writes this, and I love this as well, where Paul writes, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. The infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. Wow, I love that. I don't know about you, but I want to be like that. I want to be like Paul, where I can just say, yes, everything else doesn't matter other than knowing Jesus. The infinite value of knowing him. So the cost of following Jesus is us. And you know, as I've really pondered this over the last couple of weeks, and I've been really looking at this and going, what does that mean? What does that look like? It's a hard thing. It's actually a hard concept. Do you know, actually, can any of us really fully grasp what it means to give yourself, to deny yourself to 100%? No, I don't fully get it. I don't fully get it, but what I do know is that my heart longs for it. And this morning is about going, I want more. I don't know how much I give already. Maybe it's like 60% of you I give to Jesus. Well, I want to give 61%, 62%. I want to just keep going and keep going. This morning is about Jesus is calling us to follow him. What's your response to that? Are you going to be like the first man? Okay, yeah, Jesus, I'm going to follow you, but only when it's comfortable. Maybe this morning that's your challenge this morning to go, actually, God, I want to go out of my comfort zone. Jesus, I want to follow you. And if that means that, I'm ready for that. Maybe some of you have never even thought of that. I've said that to him. I wonder this morning, the challenge for some of us might simply be that we've become followers of convenience. Actually, Jesus, I'm going to follow you even when it's inconvenient. I'm going to follow you even if it feels like the worst time in the natural. because quite often it's the best time in the supernatural and the spiritual. Maybe for some of us this morning, the challenge is commitment. Maybe we're going, yeah, I follow Jesus, but actually he's not my first priority. I need to make him my first priority. I need to start saying, Jesus, I follow you. I'm going to commit to you. I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on you. In a moment, I'm literally coming to the end and we're going to sing a song. And I just this morning want to say, Jesus is saying, will you follow me? What's our heart response? Are you prepared for the cost? Do you know, as I've been looking at this, I've come and brought myself to a place of going, Jesus, I'm going to follow you whatever the cost. Because, you know, we don't know what's coming. I don't know what cost he's going to expect of me down the line. But being able to say, Jesus, I follow you whatever, whatever the cost might be, whatever that looks like. I wonder what your response is this morning to him saying, will you come and follow me? Let's just close our eyes and we're going to pray. And you might just want to actually, in this moment of quiet, give your response to Jesus, whatever that is. Maybe there's a cost right now that he's been, maybe there's something he's been saying to you and you're going, I've not been prepared for the cost. Maybe now you've got to go, Jesus, I will do that. I will do that. Lord Jesus, this morning, we've heard about the cost of following you. That the cost is great. The cost is ourselves. Jesus, you just long for us. You long for us to just come to you and give 100% of ourselves. And this morning, Jesus, we see that cost. We see that cost and we say, yes, Jesus, I choose to follow you, whatever the cost. You might just want to say that right now. Jesus, I choose to follow you, whatever the cost. Whatever that looks like. Jesus, I pray that you will help us to be people that follow you 100%. Help us to be people that are committed to you, that we fix our eyes on you. God, don't let us be people that are just followers of convenience and when it's comfortable. God, help us. Help us to be people that will choose to follow you even when it's uncomfortable, that we will choose to follow you even when it's inconvenient, when there's a commitment, when there's a sacrifice. Jesus, may we be those kind of people that you are longing us to be. Because Jesus, we love you. Jesus, you are the greatest treasure. Oh, the greatest treasure. We thank you, Jesus, for who you are and that you call us and you just long for us and long for us to be in relationship with you. Amen.